Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're in a supernatural series, and I didn't grow up in a church that operated in the supernatural. I didn't grow up in a church that operated in the power of God. I didn't really know what to think about all of the things that I've seen here at this church and others. I mean, I've seen weird stuff. I've seen people bark like dogs in a service. That's weird. That's not biblical. That's a distraction. But you can tell when it's off a little bit. And if you're just willing to open your mind and open your heart, sometimes open your hands, you'll find that God meets you right where you are. So when I got here, I didn't know about all of this stuff. But when I heard about it and when I tried it, I started to love it. And so I started to press in a little bit. I started to read books. And then when I got to C3, I was all in. I was all about it. People were worried about falling over. I was like, God, you can throw me against the wall, stick me to the ceiling. I don't care. I want to feel it. I want to see it. I want a demonstration. I don't care. And so when I got here, 12 years ago, I heard about this family, and there was this couple, and they had experienced some demonic stuff. In case you're not aware, there are demons, there are angels, there are demons, there are demonic influences. Christians can be oppressed. That stuff happens. These people were Christians. They were in our church, and they put a call into the church and said that they were experiencing some demonic stuff in their house, in their apartment. And so I was brand new to the church, maybe a couple of months in. But I was hungry and I was excited because I grew up playing sports, man. It's like full contact Christianity when you start going against like demonic stuff. And so I got with Dr. Matt Hubbard, who's our North Campus pastor. We're like, send me. We'll go fight some demons. And so we got together with me and him and then a couple of other of our friends, only one of which had any experience in what we were about to go do. And you need to understand that after the fact, we found out that this couple had been tapping into the occult. They'd been getting palms read and tarot cards and fortune telling and Ouija boards, all this stuff, which is literally an invitation for the demonic into your life, just in case you didn't know that. And if you have been involved with that, then you're going to probably need some prayer. I mean, you can get some prayer tonight. For real. You need to get set free of that. But we didn't know that going in. We just knew that there was some demonic stuff happening. The girl had literally been pushed off of her bed. Physically pushed off of her bed. And so we were in for a fight. You know, we went to this thing. We got in this little car. We put on worship music. We were hyping each other up. We had oil. I mean, it was powerful. We had the one ringleader was trying to tell us what to do, but we didn't really know what to do. So we go into this house, this poor couple. So we go into this house, and we all meet in the kitchen, and we're talking to the couple, and it's kind of creepy, man. You know, like there's stuff going on. He got pushed against the thing. And one of the things that the guy told us was, man, if there's anything demonic looking, we got to get rid of it. And so we kind of meet in the kitchen, and then we disperse. We all have our oil. We're putting oil on the doors and stuff. We're just casting out whatever it might be in the rooms. Anything we see that's a little bit dark or has a little bit of a creepy tinge, we're like, you got to get rid of that. That's demonic. I remember there was a mask. There's some mask on the wall. We're like, oh, that's demonic. So we're literally throwing stuff away and getting rid of this stuff. This poor couple spending all this money on this stuff. That's demonic. That's demonic. That's demonic. Because we had no idea what they'd been involved in, right? And so we get rid of all of this stuff, and we leave, and we're slapping high fives. We're thinking, man, we just dominated. in that place, only to find out that the next week, Pastor Jurgen had to go back and clean it up because there was still some stuff happening. So he had to go in there and take care of business. But that was my first experience with this supernatural, kind of creepy, freaky stuff. But I realized that all I knew was that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew who was in me, and I knew that I had authority over whatever I was about to run into. Sometimes it's better to be a little bit more ignorant than... And so we just went for it. Sometimes you just got to go for it. All the interns, sometimes they just took a step and just went for it. You just got to go for it and just see what God does. That's kind of the exciting thing. But we got to be okay with creepy. We got to be okay with a little bit freaky. I've had demons scream at me, yell at me, tell me they hate me. So just tell them you hate them back. And then tell them that they got to go. But we got to be okay with that because those are the kind of the people and those are the places we need to go and rescue people. We can't be so creeped out about the freaky stuff. Jesus went into very dark places and set people free. And we got to do the same. The title of my message tonight.
Paranormal activity.
Come on, who's ready to get into some paranormal activity tonight? Who's ready to see demons leave, the power of God flow? Some of you think I'm possessed by a demon right now after that, huh? Come on, Ruben, that was epic. Paranormal activity is the name of my message tonight. My wife doesn't approve of that, just so you know. The word paranormal means scientifically unexplainable. It means abnormal. It means irregular. And that's the kind of life I believe that Christians need to live. We don't live creepy lives. That was just a joke. But we should be living unexplainable lives. The Bible says there should be signs and wonders in the church. People should come into church on a Sunday and they should wonder what the heck just happened in there. I just saw people getting healed, set free. I just saw people giving their lives to Jesus Christ. I just saw whole families getting transformed. That should be a weekly occurrence, but not just in the church. We should be seeing that stuff in the marketplace. We should be seeing that stuff in our families. We should be seeing that stuff in the parks, on the athletic fields, paranormal stuff. We're called to take it out there. We come in here and we get trained up. We get inspired. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we go out there and we take dominion over the whole earth. We should be doing that every single week. You guys should come in expecting that. If we're not seeing lives changed, if we're not seeing demons leave, if we're not seeing people giving their lives to Christ, families transformed, I give you permission to go to another church. We're called a Spirit-filled church for a reason, because we believe the Spirit of God and the power of God can set you free, can change your life in a moment. That's who we are. Two supernatural things happened to me and my wife and my family before we came here, and that's the reason why we're here, is because of the supernatural. You guys know the story. I had kidney failure 12 years ago. I lost 20 pounds in 3 days, got healed in a hospital room. The doctors didn't know why I got sick. They didn't know why I got better. They just knew that I was better. I knew why I got better. It's because of the power of God. I came in to that hospital room. That's number one. You'd think that'd be enough, but my wife was still like, I don't know. During that time, unknowingly to us, my wife was pregnant. And we ended up having a miscarriage with our first child. Pastor Jurgen found out about it. This was a few months later. And he called me and said, hey, Becky needs to get to Cherish. It was the very first Cherish conference that C3 held. And he said, Pastor Chris Pringle's coming all the way from Australia, and she has a story about Jesse. It's called Jesse. It was a child that God gave her a vision that she lost, a vision in heaven of how babies are taken care of in heaven. And so my wife went to this conference, kind of unwillingly, and she found that the women at the conference weren't comparing, but they were actually encouraging, and that they loved each other, and that it was an encouraging, uplifting environment, something that she had never experienced before. It was at that conference where, for the first time, when Pastor Chris said, "Hey, I want everybody to write down a vision that God has given you," my wife wrote down her very first vision that she's ever got. She didn't tell anybody about it, but God gave her a vision that she was going to be preaching the gospel. She gave her a vision of what she was going to wear, what verse she was going to use, and that she was going to share her testimony. She wrote that down and said, "But it's probably not going to happen." Shut the book. That was during the week. That Sunday was our very first Sunday night at C3 San Diego. Pastor Leanne was preaching, and she was telling the story of their testimony, how they came over from Australia with nothing, with just their family, and how God started to build the church and just all the different sacrifices and things that they had went through. And then she started to prophesy over a few different people. We had never seen prophecy in action. We had never seen anybody praying for anybody. But while they were doing that, my wife prayed a prayer in her heart. And she said, "God, the Bible says you can change the mind of kings. So I know we're meant to go here, but can you just confirm it one more time? Can you have Leanne call up John and I and prophesy over us?" Leanne didn't know us. She knew of us. She didn't know us. So Leanne says, within about 30 seconds, maybe even before she was done praying the prayer, she says, "We got to end this service, but before we end, John and Becky, come forward." And you might say, that's a coincidence, but it's amazing every time when you start praying and hearing God, how many coincidences happen. They happen over and over and over again. So now we come forward, and as soon as we came forward, as soon as she called our name, my wife started crying because she just prayed a prayer to God. "God, would you change her mind? Would you have her call us up?" It's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing. So we came up, and she started to prophesy over us. And what she said was that we had been living in this big house, but that we were confined to just one room. And although there were all these different rooms, all these different experiences that we could experience, we'd only been confined to the one room, but God was opening the doors. And God was going to start to show us new aspects of himself and experience new rooms, things that we've never experienced before. It was exactly what we were going through when we went from how we were living into coming into C3 and what we were experiencing at home. And then she said this. She said, "Becky, you're a mouthpiece for the kingdom of God. You're going to preach the gospel." Becky didn't show anybody the vision that she wrote down. A couple of years later, my wife was on the stage at a Cherish conference using the verse she saw and wrote down in her vision, preaching about her testimony and seeing women's lives changed on the altar. It was all because of a supernatural God that's interested in your life and in my life. He cares about you. He cares about your dreams. He wants to speak to you, but we gotta let him. We gotta let him. We gotta be open to it. The New Testament church was birthed in the supernatural. The Bible says that there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it came in to the upper room. And 120 disciples got filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. That was the beginning of the church. Peter steps out and preaches a message he didn't prepare for. 3,000 people get saved, and the church was born. The Bible says that the apostles were moving with mighty signs and wonders all throughout the New Testament. That's how the church was birthed. So us saying no, 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 no to the supernatural, us saying no, 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 no to the power of God, is like us saying, "No, no, no, God, I know you said in Acts 1:8 that you need power in order to be a witness, but we don't need power. We can do it by ourselves." Even though you said we need it to be an effective witness, we don't need it. There's a couple of things that we get a lot of flack for at this church. And it's two things that I believe the devil wars against. And it's money and power of the Holy Spirit. Those are the two things. The devil wants you poor and powerless, because poor and powerless Christians have no influence. And if we want to be an influence, we got to be willing to push the envelope a little bit, to talk about how God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing, to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, because people need it. And Jesus said it. Cracks me up that people say Jesus was poor. How can somebody be poor that can create something out of nothing? He needed to get to to pay some taxes with Peter. And so he says, Peter, go catch a fish. There's going to be a coin in his mouth, and then we're going to pay our taxes. He used Peter's occupation to create something supernatural so that they can pay taxes. Peter was a fisherman. It was amazing that he's standing in front of 5 to 20,000 people, and he only had 2 fish and 5 loaves. The disciples came to him and said, what are we going to do? Do something. He said, you give them something to eat. And then he multiplies the fish and the bread, and he has the disciples distribute it to 15,000 people. Because God wants to do miracles through you. He could have just done it himself, but he gave it to them. And as they distributed the fish and the bread, it just continued to multiply and multiply and multiply until there was 12 basketfuls of leftovers. He was at a party, and the wine ran out. And so his mom said, hey, you know what to do, Jesus. And so Jesus takes all of this water, and he turns it into wine, very, very fine wine, worth tens of thousands of dollars back in the day. Let me just tell you, Jesus wasn't poor. He can create something out of nothing. And he definitely wasn't powerless. Jesus was not powerless. You and I are called to be his ambassadors, his representation on the earth. He was not powerless. The wind and the waves obeyed him. The sea held him up as he walked on it. He opened blind eyes. He made lepers whole. He healed the centurion's servant with a word. He spoke into a tomb and Lazarus came forth. He interrupted a funeral by grabbing a coffin, not grabbing the person, not laying hands, just grabbing the coffin and said, young child, get up. He ruined a funeral. He delivered a man from thousands of demons called Legion. He went into a dark place. He went into a cave and delivered this guy. And the crazy thing is, this is what the Bible says in John 14, 12. This is crazy. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, this is Jesus speaking, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father and I send you the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying all the things that I did in the Bible. And by the way, if you read John, it says they couldn't even put all the things that he did in the book. It would have taken libraries and libraries of books. But he said, all the things that I did, you can do. And all you have to do is believe. And you can do it. And then he said, greater works will you do if you believe. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's paranormal. But even Paul did greater works than Jesus in the New Testament. Many people grabbed onto the hem or to the garments of Jesus and got healed. Paul took off his shirt and sent it in the mail, and someone grabbed it, and demons left their body and they got healed. It's a greater work. Peter was walking down the street, and people were just getting in his shadow and getting healed. Jesus never did that. It's a greater work. There are people right now that are using the internet, using YouTube, using technology that Jesus didn't have access to preach the gospel all over the world. That's why we need Christians involved in media, social media, every sphere of culture, because if we don't take advantage of that, the devil will. Some of you are called to that. Some of you are called to that. That's a greater work. It's crazy. The gospel, according to Paul, cannot be fully preached unless it involves signs and wonders and the power of God. This is what it says in Romans 5, 15, 18 to 19. I'll just do it 19. It says, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So unless we're going to preach and demonstrate the power of God, it can't be fully preached, according to Paul. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 to 5 says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So don't believe fancy preaching. Believe the power of God. Don't be wowed by the wisdom of men. Believe in the power of God. We are a power of God church. We are also a word of God church. Word and power. word and power. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I've done. You have two options. You can just believe what I say, or you can believe the works that I do. That's what Jesus said. And then I love how it breaks it down in James, because sometimes it's hard for us to think about doing the works that Jesus did and then greater works. It's a little bit mind-blowing. It's a little bit mind-blowing. But James 5, 16 to 18 helps me. Maybe it'll help you. It says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then it goes on to tell us what an effective, fervent prayer looks like. But first it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was like us. That wasn't an accident. They put that in the Bible. That was to encourage us that we can do what Elijah did. He had a nature like ours. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come on people. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit lives in people. The Holy Spirit came on Elijah. And the Bible says, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And so the Bible is saying that Elijah has a nature like ours, and that he prayed and stopped up the heavens from rain, and then he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. He was one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. He did 14 miracles. A few of them are causing it to rain and then stop. He was fed by ravens. He went to the widow of Zarephath, and she provided for him with just some oil and some flour. You guys know that story. He resurrected a widow's son. He called down fire on 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. That's cool. He prophesied multiple times, including that Jezebel would be eaten by dogs. He parted the Jordan. He prophesied that Elisha, his successor, would do twice the miracles. And Elisha did twice the miracles that Elijah did. And he has a nature like ours, which means we should be doing the unexplainable. We should be doing the irregular. We should be experiencing the paranormal in our world just like Elijah did, which means you have power over weather. You have the ability to call on heaven to back you up. Your clothes can evict demons. Your shadow can heal the sick. Your words can shift environments and change futures. You can discern spirits. You can prophesy. You can speak in tongues. You can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You can do all of these things because it's the same Spirit of God that has evicted every demon that lives in you. The same Spirit of God that has healed every sickness lives in you. You don't even have to know what you're doing. You just got to step out in faith. It's the same Spirit. He had a nature like ours. This was happening all through Acts. Acts 4:13. This is good. I'm finishing quick. The whole worship team can come up. Acts 4:13 says, now when they saw, this are all the religious people. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Now here's the crazy thing. They had already been with Jesus for like 3 years, 3.5 years. But it was only in Acts 4 when they're like, man, these guys look like Jesus. What was different? What was different was in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And now they started to look like Jesus looked. They started to operate like Jesus operated. They had already been with Jesus, but now something had changed. Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came on him. And so now all of a sudden the disciples looked like Jesus. And it was so radical in the New Testament that Simon the sorcerer, who had power, offered Peter and John money for the power that they had. He said, can I give you money? Because when you lay hands on people, you give them power. You don't think they ever saw people falling over, shaking, sticking to the ceiling, flying around? I don't know. Simon the sorcerer, who had power, saw something different, saw something greater on the disciples, and he offered them money. But I love what Peter said. He said, no. Your heart's not right. All you want is power for yourself. The power of God operates the strongest when it's motivated out of love. And if we ever lose the purpose for the power, we're not worthy to carry the power. People is the purpose. It's not for our own agenda. It's not so that we can write books or whatever. It's so that people can get their lives changed and transformed. And I got to tell you, this is a convicting thing for me. Because the Bible says earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So I do. I earnestly desire them. But I often have to check myself to make sure that I'm just not wanting them for me and for the glory and for the praise. But I constantly have to check myself to make sure I'm doing it for the right reasons. For people. People are the purpose for all of this stuff. For all of this stuff. And if we ever lose that purpose, I'm telling you, the power of God is going to shrink. Because we're not worthy to carry it if we're not willing to love people.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.